Hello and welcome to Countdown to Eternity, the weekly radio and podcast ministry featuring Pastors James Cadiz of Calvary Chapel Signal Hill and Tom Hughes of Hope for Our Times. Together they examine current events and connect what's going on in our world to Bible prophecy.
Well, hello my dear brothers and sisters. I want to welcome you to another episode of Countdown to Eternity. And boy, do we have a doozy for you. I am here with Pastor Tom Hughes. Tommy, we got a lot to talk about, bro. First and foremost, how are you doing? I know you have just come back from a whirlwind of a tour. It has been a crazy time for you, brother. How are you doing?
I'm tired. I'm officially really tired. I've lost my voice like 30 times, and I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to finish this week.
Join the club, bro. You know what? I got to tell you, I feel terrible for you because I hate traveling and you do a lot of it. So I can tell you that is not fun. But bro, I'll tell you what, we have a lot happening and there's a reason why you're allowing yourself to get tired because, man, we got a lot to talk about, don't we? There's just a lot going on. So I'm going to let you run the show today, bro. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we have to talk about, stuff that just drives me nuts. And other things that are like, wow, I can't even believe what I'm watching. All of the news that's coming in on Israel related to the Temple Mount and what's happening over there, it's eerily quiet during Ramadan, which is very shocking in many ways. To me, it's a bit shocking. And then the more I sit down and I analyze it, I realize just how not shocking it is. And actually, this Friday, I'm doing a video on the Red Heifer issue. Because that issue is a lot bigger than a lot of people realize. When they first made the announcement about these red heifers in Texas last year, or I think it was the year before, I kind of blew it off. I mean, I did a few things about it and didn't really talk much about it. But where it's going right now, bro, I'm going to make a statement. And we can touch up on this maybe next week. But the Muslims take Bible prophecy more seriously than Christians do. And I'm not trying to sound crazy.
It's true.
But bro, if you stand on the Mount of Olives and you look at the temple area, you'll notice, like, you know, right below the Golden Dome, where my finger is right there, right below the Golden Dome, there's the cemetery. And of course, as you know, why that cemetery was put there, and the East Gate was sealed, because the Muslims read the Bible and know that Jesus is going to touch his foot down on the Mount of Olives and walk through the Kidron Valley and up into the East Gate, and they're trying to stop that from happening. And now you've got, and this was serious, like this isn't like they're not playing games, they're not messing around. You have a military spokesman for Hamas who's actually saying one of the motivators for us doing what we're doing is our concern about preserving Al-Aqsa because of the fact that they're about to sacrifice these red heifers. And the Muslims know that if you're going to sacrifice a red heifer, then that means you're getting ready to dedicate the building of a temple.
Yeah. So I was just there last week, right?
Yeah.
So on the Temple Mount, I recorded a short, and I've been on the Temple Mount of Ramadan before, and it was exactly what you said. It was eerily quiet, but I was kind of expecting it to be that way, as you said the same thing, right?
Yeah.
For me and you, it wasn't really a surprise, no matter what some of the news outlets were saying. Regarding the red heifer, one interesting thing, and I want to caution anybody that's into Bible prophecy about this. CBS did a report on the red heifer a couple of weeks ago. They used video footage from 20 years ago of an altar that was built out in the Dead Sea area, since dismantled. So what they did, they took some truth, some facts about the current red heifers. They bring in this altar that was dismantled 20 years ago, use that footage as if it was today on the Mount of Olives. However, the other stuff is going on. But where the prophecy people get into a mess is they discredit themselves by believing these CBS reports. But the red heifer, James, I was just like you on the red heifers, right? I followed the red heifers, go back to the 1990s. Missler was into them, so I got into them. And then I poo-pooed them for a long time.
Yep.
Well, this time around, I'm looking at them going, okay, they're held in Shiloh right now. They are real, and they are going to – something's going to happen. Whether or not it happens this Passover or not, I don't know. However, Daniel 9 is clear. Antichrist puts an end to sacrifice. Well, that means this has to happen.
Yeah, there has to be a temple. Yes.
Yeah, how are you going to get to sacrifice without the red heifers?
Yep.
I mean, the whole thing is so fascinating to watch. And by the way, right where the Muslim cemetery is, so I recorded my Palm Sunday message, you know, right where the gate is, the Lion's Gate. It was a blast. It was crazy. I had ambulances going by, a car wreck behind me.
Oh, my goodness.
But it was wild there to see that. And you're right. I'll tell you something else that happened. I know we got to get onto some bigger stories. When I was over there, James, both Muslims and Jews are open to hear about Jesus Christ right now in a way I've never seen before.
Yeah, bro, it is absolutely amazing. And you're going to hear something that's going to make you laugh. You mentioned that CBS News report. My whole video on Friday uses that CBS report all the way through to be a launching pad for my discussion on the red heifer. And I feel so strongly about how false those images were of that whatever nonsense that was that they built.
It was,
right? Yeah. That I actually, when I play the CBS News report, I only play the audio. The only portion of that CBS News report that I took that had any pictures or stills from it are pictures of the city of Jerusalem, pictures of the red heifers, and I did not take any of those. I just played the audio in the background while people could see my face because of how insane. Look, it's inflammatory, bro. It's incendiary. It's ridiculous what they do. Oh yeah, absolutely, 100%, 100%.
So a friend of mine sent me the coordinates on the Mount of Olives where they're planning to do the sacrifice of the red heifer. So this is interesting. It's right next to Gethsemane.
Yeah, which I would expect.
Yeah,
it's funny that you would say that. I've never had this conversation with you, but people ask me where would they do the sacrifice, and I basically said it's got to be right where the garden is.
Oh.
That's funny.
You got to hear this one. So when we're over in Israel, I believe that Jesus, the praetorium that Jesus was taken to is where Herod's palace was. Yep. I don't think it's the Antonia Fortress. It doesn't add up for lots of reasons.
Yep.
What's really interesting, right where that place is, where it appears, Jesus was actually presented before the mob of religious leaders. Say, who do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus? They say Barabbas. Right. What he wants to do with them, crucify him.
Right.
Well, guess what? Last year, when they did the sacrifice of the lamb, you know how the temple, Temple Institute does it? Guess where they did it? To avoid the crowds. They did it over there, the exact same spot behind Herod's palace, where I believe Jesus was presented by Pilate. That's where they chose to sacrifice the lamb.
So, bro, who said that Jesus was presented by Pilate? Is that a regular teaching that Jesus was presented by Pilate at the Praetorium?
It's a regular teaching presented by Pilate over where Antonio Fortress is.
Really?
And yeah, it is. In fact, all right,
I've never even heard that before.
Yeah, well, believe me, it's the Calvary way, all right? Just between me and
wow.
you.
Wow. Like, I can't get my head around that. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I've never heard that before. So go ahead.
Yeah. Even when I mention these things, people get kind of mad about it because they're so used to hearing Antonia Fortress.
Did Chuck make that popular?
I heard it over and over through the Calvaries. I better be quiet. I don't want to say.
Okay, but can I just say this? It's darn near impossible for it to be at the Antonia Fortress.
It is. It is impossible.
You would never have the king over there.
No. Okay, thank you. So this is one of the issues. Man, we're going to talk about other stuff. We need like 4 hours today. So listen.
Don't get it.
So one of the things that's happened, the people who say the temple was down where the city of David is, wasn't on the Temple Mount.
Yeah, that
cuckoo. One of the things they do is they say, no, the entire Roman army would have been up there on the Temple Mount. No, they would have been over where Herod's palace is. And they use the Antonia Fortress as the argument to support their nonsense lies, right? But it is hogwash. Thank you for saying that.
Here's the thing that everybody has to understand with the Antonia Fortress, okay? Just let it get through people's head who believe whatever nonsense they're being told about Pilate or anybody else that's a governor or a ruler being on the Antonia Fortress. The design of the Antonia Fortress with the walls that surround the courtyard of the temple was one purpose and one purpose only. The Romans knew that the Jews would fight like literal hell anytime anybody would be in their courtyard, any Gentiles. The Jews didn't want anybody in that courtyard. The whole purpose of that fortress on a whole bunch of levels was to create a minimalist, that's the operative word, a minimalist base for the individuals that were told by Rome to control that area. And an overwhelming majority of the time, you actually had temple guards that hung out there. So if you took a Roman leader, like Pontius, for example, and you stuck him in the Antonia Fortress, first of all, you had a security, that'd be a major security problem, number one. Yeah. But number two, do you understand the kind of uprising that would create amongst the Jews, even by the temple officials? Where... Maybe, you know what, bro? Maybe I just flunked during that part of
listening
to guys teaching through that stuff, well, bro.
I had listened to it, and it's wrong. I mean, could you imagine Pontius Pilate and his wife staying in Antonia Fortress?
Do you know what it took to get to the Antonia Fortress?
Oh, yeah.
You'd climb up a set of stairs that didn't even have any rails. You think Pontius Pilate's going to take his wife over there and they're going to have a conversation? What did you do?
Herod's palace was there. So when Pilate, the ruler, would be there, he'd go to Herod's palace with his wife. He's not going to say, hey, I'm taking you over to Antonia Fortress. But anyways, I find all of this so interesting when we talk about the red heifers. And the reason why, I'm glad you're doing this because, listen, there's no salvation through the red heifers.
No.
But these things remind us of the Bible prophecies.
Right.
And we know the temple that's coming is a temple of Antichrist. We understand all these things. And we don't talk about them thinking they're salvation in these things. No, right. We talk about them because we know these are signs that Jesus is coming again. Because right. We know there's going to be a temple. There's going to be temple sacrifice. These things are all going to develop. So it's not a coincidence that Hamas, I'm looking forward to your program on Friday and listening to it. It's not a coincidence that you have certain leaders within Hamas that are saying, hey, this is a problem. These Jews, some of these Jews are going to sacrifice the red heifer. It's going to be interesting to see what happens if they do this on Passover.
Oh, yeah. Bro, there's so much to say about this, bro, on so many levels. It's not even funny. I still am a little dumbfounded on the fortress thing. Like, I'm still like, okay, can I just say one more thing about that, by the way?
Yeah.
If you know anything about Herod, Herod was not just a spectacular designer and builder. Herod was also a security builder because he was paranoid.
He was
like the security features that he built into any of his construction efforts were like unbelievable. And so if a fortress would be built with the intent to house him or the leader of Rome or any of the governors of Rome, dude, that fortress would not be what we knew it was. Like, it would, it's not even characteristic of Herod's building.
No.
I mean, I guess these are the same people that say you're talking about a 200 million man army when they conflate, Revelation 9 and 16. It's the same people.
You know, it makes me laugh.
Yeah, yes. I mean, but it is. It's just that ridiculous. I'm sorry, but it's ridiculous. It's the same people that say, talk about the name of Jesus only being, you remember, what was that crazy movement that lasted for about 4 minutes? You have to say Jesus Yeshua or I forgot
if you don't say Yeshua he can't hear your prayers.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Even though nobody said Yeshua during the time of Jesus because they spoke in Aramaic, Latin, and prominently Koine Greek. They weren't using that word at all. Isn't that kind of funny how that works? Anyway. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Whatever.
To say the least. Also, in Herod's palace is massive. Herod had escape routes planned in there.
Yeah.
No, he had, he was well protected.
You're telling me the same guy that built Masada is going to be the guy that's going to actually build something that he's going to have his direct overseer walk. Whatever. I'm not even going to go there. It's stupid.
It's real absurd. And Herod's palace is massive. It could hold all the Roman soldiers that were necessary. Massive amounts and still be a very nice, it was a nice place. Anyways, enough of that.
Yeah.
So,
I'm sorry, bro.
So P. Diddy got arrested. Or P. Diddy, I don't know exactly what's going on at this point. His homes were raided by the feds. Yeah. And we know there's child trafficking involved. James, I think it's an Epstein thing. He's got too much info on too many people. He's guilty.
I think so. I will go. Listen, we're going to take the conservative route here. Let's just do this. I don't know what he's guilty of because we're innocent until proven guilty, right? But I will tell you this. I will tell you that nobody rises to the type of fame and level that he rises to without selling their souls to the literal devil. So God knows what's going on that end. But I can tell you this. There is video of that guy saying we have to do whatever is necessary at all costs to vote Biden in office. So if Biden's Justice Department is coming against P. Diddy and locking him down, then that means P. Diddy's definitely up to no good.
Yeah.
But bro, he's got all kinds of information on people that are very influential that are up to no good. I think you hit it right on the nose. It is undoubtedly a Jeffrey Epstein type situation.
Hey, so Netanyahu.
Yep.
So check this out.
You're going to get me mad. Yeah,
Netanyahu cancels delegation to the U.S. after Biden withholds U.N. Security Council veto.
I do you want me to just lose my mind?
I do, because I'm kind of, you know, this news was coming out while I was traveling via Indiana to in and out of airports and doing stuff. Okay. So I'm curious. I really want to know.
For those of you that don't know, the bull caca United Nations Security Council has decided to create a resolution that condemns the actions of Israel against Hamas for the wicked, satanic, evil practices that they did on October 7th and continue to do. Now, I want to make myself very, very clear, okay? If the United States of America sat in that meeting and vetoed the resolution would not have passed. Okay? I want to make myself very clear. Netanyahu is going to tell the United Nations to shove it straight up their rears. And the bottom line is, they should shove it straight up their rears, because how long has it been since we found out about UNRWA? United Nations relief organization being complicit in the attacks against Israel? So you mean to tell me, you devils, that you are going to make a resolution that condemns the actions of Israel in seeking to defend itself because they are correct in doing so, instead of writing a resolution that is going to condemn the actions of Hamas, shielding themselves under the auspice of innocent, as they would call it, Palestinians? Are you out of your dang minds? Are you crazy? And guess what, folks? You should thank Joe Biden. Thank Joe Biden for the fact that the United States of America is going to be judged worse than we have ever seen the United States of America be judged. We're already watching the United States of America fall apart. It's already gone down the tubes. The United States of America is in the worst place that it has ever been, and it's going to get worse because now we're at the point where we have said, to heck with Israel. You mean to tell me, like, let me get this straight. You mean to tell me that we are going to support a nation whose sole purpose is to destroy the United States of America and Jews? America is the great Satan. Jews are the smaller of the two Satans, right? And you mean you are literally going to support a nation like Iran? You are going to stand behind them and pretty much tell Israel to kiss off? Are you out of your dang mind? Are you crazy? Joe Biden isn't just delusional, okay? All of the people that are handling him adamantly desire to see the United States of America destroyed. They have a bloodlust that's built within them where they hate Jews and they hate Israel, and God is going to judge them for it. And if they think they're going to win, good luck. You are going to lose your rears on this one. I'm sorry. All right. End of rant.
Well, you're right. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 will come into play. Bless those who bless thee, I'll curse those who curse thee, much to the annoyance of people who are exposing their anti-Semitism. And you start looking at the pressure against Israel. Here's what also is happening, James. As we know, we're watching this anti-Semitism come from the hearts of the masses of the people. All over social media, you and I both, we're constantly hit with all these anti-Semitic comments. More anti-Semitic comments are coming through than it seems anything else combined. And so we're watching. So what happens, Zechariah chapter 12, though all the world is gathered against her. So not just our leaders of the world gathered against her, It's the people of the world that are gathering against her at a time right now. This is fascinating. Both things are happening at the exact same time. The leaders of the world and the people of the world are both gathering against Israel, and the focus is going to shift in the not-too-distant future from Gaza to Jerusalem, which may be part of the Red Heifer and all of these other things that are going on. But it is all the world, not just the leaders. It is not a coincidence, and it is absolutely evil. And I would just sort of exhort everybody, listen, now is the time to stand with Israel. Our faith is being tested.
Yep.
Our will is being tested. Are we going to stand with Israel?
Yep.
When we hear all the anti-Semitic comments that it's Jews who run Hollywood, it's Jews who run the banks, it's Jews who run the Biden administration, all these different things that are out there, right? And the pressure is going to be against the Christian to cave to the pressure and start turning against Israel. You better not do that.
Yep.
You better not do it. We stand with Israel because God stands with Israel. And I also believe this, James, this might sound kind of weird, but I think it's true. God is exposing the Christians who say we believe in grace, we believe in God's mercy, but they've turned anti-Semitic.
Yep.
Well, how does grace and mercy apply to the Jew? Well, apparently it doesn't. It only applies to you. There's something seriously wrong with the churchgoers' faith when they are now turning anti-Semitic, and I would even suggest it's because they're not genuine believers.
These are the same people that will march for George Floyd. These are the same people. These are the same people that will stand up for all of the nonsense but won't say a word about the things that matter. These are all the political, and by the way, they're the ones that are political, in my opinion, right? I don't consider myself to be political in the sense that I'm just talking about the things that God calls me to talk about. But these people are so hell-bent on standing up for the things that will get them more likes and votes and so on and so forth, they won't talk about the things that are really important. No one will go out and seek the truth on any of these things. And it's just amazing to me how people are so dang stupid about this. Like how they're so close-minded about this and they just don't understand the reality of the circumstance that surrounds Israel right now. It's unbelievable to me. And I just have to say this. This is the week that we focus on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And man, what a blessing it is to focus on what we know is real and true. That's why we do what we do. I want to close it out because we're out of time by you just sharing a few thoughts on that very subject. What an important time that we're celebrating right now.
Yeah, we think of this, the last week of Jesus. On Palm Sunday, Jesus rode into Jerusalem. The people cried out, Hosanna. The religious leaders say, shut your mouth. Don't say that. By the end of the week, the religious leaders are saying, hey, crucify him. And Jesus is turned over to the Romans to be crucified. But he died for our sins.
Amen.
And although Satan thought he won, I'm convinced Satan thought he won on that day when Jesus was put on the cross and laid into a tomb. But uh-oh came on Sunday when Satan realized, uh-oh, I got a problem. He just rose from the grave. Amen. And there is our hope. Anyone who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins will be saved. And Jesus proved it in the resurrection. He ascended into heaven. And guess what? He is coming back. He is not in heaven thinking, oh man, I lost everything else, but I won some souls. No, he is coming back just as he said he is coming back. And we look at this week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. What a remarkable week it is for us who know the Lord Jesus Christ. Herein is our hope.
Amen, bro. Amen and amen. Well, you guys heard it, and I can't add anything to that. So on behalf of my dear brother, Tom Hughes, this is James Cadiz. We want to thank you for joining us for another episode of Countdown to Eternity. And praise the Lord, Christ is risen. God bless you guys.
You're listening to Countdown to Eternity with Pastors James Cadiz and Tom Hughes. Look for us online at countdowntoeternity.com. You can replay this episode at countdown2eternity.com or listen wherever you get your podcasts. We're also at oneplace.com. I should also mention Pastor Tom's website. You'll find it at hopeforourtimes.com. Pastor James is on social media. He examines current events and connects what's going on in our world to Bible prophecy. Look for James Cadiz on YouTube, Rumble, and Instagram. Or just go to jamescadiz.com and start watching these videos today. Countdown to Eternity is listener-supported, and if the Lord is leading you to support what we're doing, a good place to go is countdowntoeternity.com. There you can make a secure one-time or ongoing donation to the ministry. Again, countdown the number two, eternity.com. Have a question relating to Bible prophecy or want some prayer? Send that to us in the form of an email at countdown the number two, eternity.com. Then join us next week as we continue the Countdown to Eternity. Countdown to Eternity is brought to you by Calvary Chapel, Signal Hill, and made possible through the support of our listeners.